You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hot dog. It's
Hey, let's start that over again because you blew out the speakers first thing. All right, let's try.
Logan's gonna stab us one day. That's what's gonna happen.
All right.
All right, everybody, welcome to OneOfUs.net. It's been so long, I forget what the show's called.
Inside the Locker.
We're back. Welcome to Inside the Locker, brought to you today by Planner's Peanuts. Planner's Peanuts, the only salted peanuts.
Put them in your mouth.
Put them in your mouth.
Hot dog.
Shout out to Planner's Peanuts. So this is the episode. We're back. OneOfUs.net, Inside the Locker. Now, it's been a minute. We've all kind of been on summer vacation, kind of taking it easy. Before we move further, we have to congratulate Elliot. He is engaged.
Yeah, thank you.
Elliot, you did it, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Saw the picture. You went down on one knee and everything. One knee.
Like boys to men.
Did she?
And then Pikachu showed up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. Or is it Pikachu a she?
I think Pikachu's a she.
Okay. But yeah, I saw the picture, and I know you guys gender have talked about place. It before, but so did you surprise her, or what's
well,
the...
Well, she...
Give us the details.
Yeah. we've been dating for about 2.5 years, yeah. And she sort of knew it was coming, but she thought it was coming like around October, November.
Okay.
Sort of more towards the end of the year, but...
So it was kind of like the when Drake dropped the Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden he just dropped it.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was coming. You're like, oh, man.
And that was my idea because, like, what I've been doing for the entire first part of this year is just slow playing it. Like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, I'm just sort of working through it and I'm going to – but it's like I've known since January. Like, I actually made up my list of who I'm going to invite to the wedding in January and I've just been ordering stuff. Because, like, I not only got her – I got her the ring, but I also got – because I'm a huge nerd. Y'all know this.
Yeah.
I got her the Water Tribe Betrothal Necklace from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm, nice. Boy,
that's such a deep rough. Cut. And I got her heavy. I got her a blue feather brooch from Harvest Moon because in Harvest Moon 64, when you want to propose to the lady that you want to propose to, you give her a blue feather.
Huh.
So, like, I had all – like, I've been going to Etsy and ordering this and ordering that. So, like, I had everything together. And, like, I had this big, long plan. And I was like, okay, we're going to go to Friedman's Barbecue with my friends from law school. We're going to have dinner. And then I'm going to take her to Mount Bonnell and propose there. So, the day of the proposal on the Saturday, I go pick her up. And she's like, oh, God, Elliot, it's really hot. Do we have to go to Mount Bonnell? And I'm like, no, we don't. Because, like, if I make her go to Mount Bonnell, she's going to know. Mm-hmm. And it's more important to me that I Chandler her. Mm-hmm. Because I look at – because, like, this sounds horrible, but I looked at the engagement as I want to make sure that I make this go right. But also, it's an epic opportunity to surprise her.
Sure.
So, like, true. I want to surprise the shit out of her. So, like, if I push for Mount Bonnell, I can't do it. So I text my friends and I'm like, okay, I have to call an audible. One of my friends is like, what's an audible? And I'm like, oh, shit, okay. No. I have to explain what an audible is. And so
in sports.
Yeah. So, like, I get to the thing and, like, I wait until the dinner's over, which, by the way, there's nothing that will make a dinner last longer than knowing you're proposing at the end of dinner.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just sitting there for, like, what feels like hours as everybody eats barbecue the slowest fucking way they can because Freeman's is a barbecue place.
Right.
And towards the end of dinner, I said, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And luckily, the restrooms are located right by the parking lot. So I get up and I'm like, oh shit, I left my keys because the ring's in the car because the box is too big because if it's in my pocket, you're going to see it. So, like, I go back and get my keys, but luckily one of my friends, they have their baby there. And so Stacy, we both have baby fever. So Stacy's so focused on the baby that she can't notice me coming back to get my keys and doesn't ask, why are you getting your keys to go to the restroom?
Mm.
So then I come back and she's still distracting the baby. So I get on that on one knee. And people just gasp around me.
Oh, she's really
nice.
And then she turns around and she just looks at me and just laughs. And I'm like, say my thing. And she says yes. And then people start clapping and I have some champagne come out for the table. And then from there, it was just a whirlwind of... It was an awesome night because, like,
Did the restaurant give you anything for free?
Nope. And actually, we had some pretty horrible service.
We don't have to put him on blast.
Well, I'm saying I feel like the waiter must have had an off night. So I gave him a good tip. But, like, I didn't feel bad for him. It's like, dude, you probably had a bad night. I don't know what's going on.
That's beautiful.
But then the rest of the night, I was just like, we went to Karaoke Apocalypse.
Yeah, I remember you Facebook status updated at like midnight, and we're like, "Hey, the party's still going.
The party's still going."
I was like, "What is this guy talking about?"
And so then like I was just telling everybody, "I'm engaged," like Rick James or something, and people would be like, "Let me see the ring." And like I was on the hotel, I was in the elevator at Draft House.
Now, how much did you spend on the ring? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It's 2 months' salary.
I'll tell you this. She said, "I don't want you to spend this much more than X." Mm-hmm. Did not listen to that.
Okay.
Because I tell you what, like, if my logic was, if I can have so many fucking Steam games, mm-hmm. I have 500 Steam games. Okay. If I can buy
as
many action figures as I have, mm-hmm. I can spend a little. I didn't go off.
I always forget what a giant nerd you are. But
yes,
you know, I don't know. I don't care. I mean, you know, like it's one of those things where, you know, everyone's a nerd about something.
But it's like, if I can spend money on that, I should spend money on that.
It's the whole point of the site, yeah. And at least it's not like nothing weird. Like at least, you know, like I have over 500 clippings of fingernails from chicks, you know.
It's like this many hair dolls.
So no, it's all good. All right. Well, cool, man. Well, hey, congratulations. So the wedding.
Yeah, congrats.
Probably sometime in spring 2017.
Yeah. And our.
Every one of us.net listener is invited.
Yeah. Oh, our Jedi subscribers can get the RSVP.
You guys get the
RSVP link first.
Like Chris is just going to be there live streaming it.
Even the people that yelled at us for our Ghostbusters.
Oh my God. And that was the best part. The day before, I'm getting yelled at about Ghostbusters shit.
Did you like it? Is that what the problem was?
The problem was we liked it and we were,
I want to set this up a little bit because, you know, this isn't like a, obviously Ghostbusters has a lot of online backlash and this isn't mm-hmm. like a, you know, the New York Times gets heat from people like you guys are a site for people who are exceptionally passionate about mm-hmm. the film.
Right.
So, it sounds like maybe in their eyes, it's like, hey, I have this safe space that I subscribe to where I can say that this sucks and I hate this idea. But.
Yeah.
We kind of called him out on that. Like, not the bulk of our review, but a portion of our review was basically us saying, suck it, haters, the movie was good.
20% of the reviews. Yeah. I did a time code of all the review because mm-hmm. somebody said, well, I didn't like that you spent 90% of the review talking about what it meant. And how great it was, and only 10% on the review. So I took my lunch break on Friday mm-hmm. and broke out time codes and did percentages.
And a bunch of dudes take into the defense of, well, not all men are sexist if they don't like the movie. And I had to relate to one guy. I'm like, it's like this. If somebody comes up to me and says all murderers are dickless assholes, I'm not going to say, well, I'm not a dickless asshole. So I've never murdered anyone. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, when you don't, when people want to oppose something, it's funny how they always start standing up for free speech. Like, it's like, I am not this. I just really care about free expression and for honesty and truth. And it's like, I'm going to take you at your word that you care about that.
Yeah.
But the thing I look at is, like, there are shitty reboots all the time. Mm-hmm. There are reboots that people don't like. Mm-hmm. But they don't get the same level of backlash. Like, G.I. Joe is a shitty, like the first one is just shitty version of G.I. Joe, which itself is not the best.
Yeah, like at least they had a different idea. At least they tried it, right?
Right.
And it's probably, yeah, I want to see this movie, but I actually had a dog sit all weekend, so I didn't do shit. I just hung out with dogs. I smoked a bunch of weed. It was great.
See, I've never smoked weed.
That's because you're a nerd.
I am a nerd.
I was cool. I've been smoking weed since sixth grade.
Also, awesome. being black, my dad always told me straight up, he's like, Elliot, you do drugs, you're going to jail.
That's true, yeah.
If
you're black or brown in this country and you do drugs, you have to really want to do drugs.
Yeah, you have to be like that's really, like, there was a point, like, last week where I was driving without my seatbelt on, and I was like, shit, I honest to God, I felt like I was living dangerously. I was like, well, I should really put my seatbelt on. Oh, yeah, this is absolutely a problem.
Yeah. No, yesterday I went into the liquor store, and as I was walking in, I was holding, like, a big bag of Jack in the Box that, mm-hmm. like, had been in my car, and I wanted to, like, throw it away. But it looked like I was, like, holding a gun inside of a bag and shit. So I was like, oh, shit. Because, like, I saw the look on the cashier's person as I was walking in. They just, like, freaked out for a second. I was like, no.
It's just
bad. This is garbage. This is garbage. I'm not going to rob you.
Well, garbage, it's already been, it's never, it hasn't been eaten yet if it's Jack in the Box. It's garbage is ready to be thrown.
Yeah. I love Jack in the Box. Hey, so
it's just so greasy.
We should talk about wedding season a little bit because now this is a oneofus.net exclusive. but this is my offer to you, okay? Uh-huh. And you can think about it, but I'm dead serious.
Uh-huh.
All right. I will, for free, uh-huh. at an expert level, because no one can do it better than me, for free DJ your wedding.
Dude, I'll take you up on that.
100% for free.
I don't want to pay you, though.
No, you don't. What are you talking about?
Well, I got to clear it with Stacey, but yeah.
Talk to Stacey about it. And if she's like, no, I don't want to do that, that's weird.
I'm still going
to
pay
but
you.
But the thing is, Ramon gets to play what he wants to play.
No.
This man's a fucking music critic. People will love you. I do have a few that, like, I have a few requests.
See, that's the thing. Of course you do. Now, I don't want to say this because I've noticed a trend lately. I got married 7 years ago. I've been married a long time. When I got married, we hired a wedding DJ, and he talked to us, and he's like, okay, what do you guys like? What do you guys hate? What do you think? Like, what do you not want to hear? Warn me about, like, the crazy uncle who's going to come up and want a song. Like, and then you talk to him for 15 minutes, and then that's it, and then it was perfect. But the problem is what a lot of people are doing right now is they're saying, I want to make a party playlist for myself. And when you
then
do
why
that,
have a DJ?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people are cutting costs by having their own party playlist. The problem with that is that no one is actually controlling it, and sometimes you're going to run into problems. You're going to run into, like, lulls where the music isn't moving, flowing
along.
Yeah,
you can't automate that stuff.
You can't automate that.
You need that human element.
You need if there's a dance floor and a song is bombing, someone has to
change it.
You got to change it. So that's, you know, if you need, like, hip hop air horn sirens, who's gonna drop that?
Dude,
no, I'm not kidding.
Like, we will I will donate it to a charity of your choice if I have to, but I'm gonna fucking pay you.
I'll do it for free
because you are a music critic who offered to DJ my wedding. I'd be so fucking honored.
It would be my honor. I mean, we're friends and we do, yeah. But it would be because again, it's one of those things where it's like someone has to handle the music, and oftentimes the groom gets very controlling about it, and that's cool that they're a big music fan, but
I'm really not.
In most recent examples where I've gone to the weddings, it just turns into people standing around a phone going like,
yeah.
Oh, it's buffering. Oh, hold on. We got the song coming up in just a minute.
It's just all going to be Taylor Swift and Kanye.
It's going to be 112 Peaches and Cream. It's going to be Where the Party At.
Yeah.
It's going to be shit like that.
You have the songs that you want to hear. You also have the wedding classics that you...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's like maybe like 20 wedding classics, and you have to say, I hate this wedding classic, or I really like this wedding classic.
No, right? I made a Spotify engagement playlist for the drive from the barbecue place to the after party, and like I named it Picard after engaged, and like
she never looked at your Spotify playlist and be like, Elliot, what's up with this engagement?
I made it like I made it 10 minutes before I left my house to go pick her up because she would do that shit.
Elliot, what's up with this? What's up with this Years Forever playlist?
Yeah, so like I have like let me see, I got like songs like I have a bunch of Sam Cooke on there.
Yeah,
so like This Will Be by Natalie Cole, which I'm sorry is one of the best songs of all time.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but you also don't want someone that's, like, super pretentious that is, like not reading the room. And so, anyway, I'll tell you how good I am at this shit. I went to a wedding this month, and I was just, like, me and some friends started taking bets over, like, who was going to play what. So I bet 5 different friends, $20 a piece, that not only was this song going to be played, but this was going to be the first song that was played. And it was Uptown Funk. Because, every fucking wedding right now, that transition, that like, all right, folks, join the bride and groom of the dance floor. And then it's just like, boom. Boom, boom. Every fucking time. Because
it's
wedding.
A perfect transition, though.
Yeah, it is. So like, so that's like the hot wedding song of the moment. There's songs like, in 2014, you couldn't go to a wedding without hearing Happy by Pharrell.
Oh, God, yes.
But now it's over. Like,
it is over.
That song has not resonated.
Really?
It's like worse than Lumineers.
It's just not out there. So there's always a couple of hot wedding songs of the season. There's always like the new Justin Timberlake song that I don't particularly like, but that's the song that like
the song of the season.
He put that shit out right before Memorial Day to kind of be like, hey, it's wedding season. Kind of flat, hasn't really worked. But there's some like undeniable things that are just like, you know, like maybe you got to hear One Dance by Drake 6 times in a row. You know, maybe so like you never know. But anyway,
It's probably gonna be like a lot of Timbaland.
A lot of Timbaland. I mean, you know, again, all I ask, though, is that on the invitation you put, you know, the nuptials of Elliot Fonda, and then at the bottom, DJ set by Ramon Ramirez presented by Red Bull.
I'll put you in, we're going to call you Mr. Worldwide. I'll put you in the program.
I was going to say, what's your DJ name? And you got to have a DJ name.
We'll figure that out. Something tasteful, but also cool.
Honestly, like, I'm not kidding. Like, I'm going to take this to stage because, like, honestly, ego-wise, it'd be the coolest fucking thing to be like, who's a DJ? Oh, that's my boy. That's my boy Ramon.
Yeah.
Do a podcast with them. What's up?
Social media rock star, influential tastemaker.
You are an influential tastemaker.
It would be my honor, and I'll do it for free. It'll be awesome. The other thing, yeah, like I had a friend get married, and on his groomsmen, he listed like so-and-so, and I was listed as like childhood best friend, mm-hmm. and then his buddy Jose was listed as spiritual advisor. So take one of your groomsmen.
Oh, I gotta do that. Spiritual advisor. It's like my best man is gonna be this guy, Richard Abbott. He's my best friend, and we've had a relationship sort of like JD and Turk.
Okay.
So I'm gonna call him my Turk. That's because I'm the JD in this relationship.
Oh, I love it.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's great.
Like, one last thing. When I got engaged, like, he sent me a picture of the scene from Scrubs mm-hmm. where Turk shows the ring to JD, and JD goes, "My dad would kill me if I married a black guy." I'm like, Richard, you know me so well.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So there we go. Wedding season. It's popping off. Make sure you get out there. Make sure you stay hydrated on the dance floor. Don't drink too much. And be friendly. We're going to talk about the Olympics a little bit because we are on the eve of the Olympics. You know, every year August is always kind of a hard month because there's always nothing going on and it sucks and it's boring. This year, thank goodness, the Olympics are happening. Now, if you're like me, we got basketball, we got some Zika, and we got some turmoil. Now, let me just say this.
Shit water.
Let me just get this out of the way because we're going to turn it over to JC and Logan, and we'll talk a little more in depth about the highs and the lows and what we can expect and what we want to see. But I just wanted to say every single Olympics in modern history, because of the way the news works and because of the way the cycle works, every Olympics is a disaster. Now, it's a disaster because it actually is a disaster, right? It's a huge waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mandate that in 10 years you have to build all this shit. Most of the people don't want to build it. Half of the population is upset about it. You got to cut some corners and break some laws and break some zoning laws and relocate some people and, you know, maybe quietly kill some people and shoot all the dogs on the street. It's terrible, but it's like this with every single Olympics. And so
maybe not quite this bad.
Oh, well, are you kidding me? In Atlanta, they built like a new subway that literally no one has ridden in 20 years.
But here's the thing. I was going to bring up Atlanta as a positive.
And there was actually a bombing in Atlanta.
I know, but I will say this is a positive for Atlanta. Like, I went there a few years ago, and they still, and this sounds really silly, but they still have this, like, Olympic Park that is beautiful, that people still go to the time.
Some places, the venues that they build for the Olympics remain, and they remain active. And other places, the more specifically for the Winter Olympics, everywhere.
What was that one in Korea, I think?
Yeah, the venues that they build mostly for the Winter Olympics, after years, they go completely abandoned.
My thing is, why don't they just have 3 venues per Olympics and just rotate them?
It's kind of one of the things, like, not to be overly jingoistic about the subject, but like the Olympics should be in a country that has money. Like,
yeah,
it seems like the most obvious
they can afford to put on the Olympics is the problem. Yeah,
and like that seems like the most obvious thing in the world. But like Rio is nice. Rio is beautiful. It looks awesome in movies with Jesus with his arms wide open.
Welcome to Brazil.
Well, the idea is, though, that ideally you put money into it, invest in infrastructure, and then you bring money in by hosting the Olympics. That's supposedly the scheme that's supposed to happen. Yeah, but does that really happen? And you know, like if your Olympics ends up a disaster, then will that actually come true regardless?
No, absolutely. And they fucked up because they gave, like, Brazil got back to back shit. They got World Cup, Olympics back to back. World Cup was way worse. I mean, because they were like building stadiums in the middle of the Amazon. At least here it's confined to Rio. Rio's a city that's big enough to handle it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get some Zika? No, no one's going to get Zika. Are people going to, like, on the low be, like, taken out back and shot? Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's what happens. That's what happens. You know, you can't have these protesters at the event.
How many tourists are going to get mugged?
No one's going to. Not any more than you would in Atlanta. Rio,
you're not wrong.
Rio is one of the biggest, Rio is one of the big, like, every city is a big safe city. I mean, and that's the thing. And who here has been to Rio? One of my best friends lives in Rio, is from Rio, and moved back to Rio 2 years ago from Dallas. Actually, is working for the Olympics. There's a really cool Instagram of her holding the Olympic torch because, like, it came by the office. It's just like anywhere else. It's gonna be fine. Let's talk about the Olympics, though. Will you get mugged if you go to Rio for the Olympics?
Maybe.
Probably not. If you go to Atlanta, you might get mugged. If you go to Houston, you might get mugged. Yeah. Every big city, if you're not careful, if you're not minding your P's and Q's, you might get mugged.
happens. Feel like you're more likely to get mugged in New Orleans than you are in Rio.
Yeah.
And they say this is somebody from New Orleans. Yeah. Like, you're walking around, like, Magnolia mm-hmm. at 2 a.m. in the morning. You might get mugged.
I saw the movie Focus. Yeah.
Oh, you mean Suicide Squad, the prequel?
Yeah. But, yeah, so you just, like, some of the things we're looking forward to or yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm looking forward to the basketball. USA basketball is always intriguing to me, but I know in the last few years, international basketball has come a long way. Australia, in particular, has farmed out a really huge crop of NBA talent. Kyrie Irving actually could technically play for Australia if he wanted to, but he's playing for USA this year.
Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
Is there any country that can give the United States a legitimate challenge in the medal games?
Australia's tough. Argentina's tough. Spain, I don't think has either of the Gasol brothers playing, but Spain is always really tough.
No, but none of them can beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, the Team USA basically is made up of
Kevin Durant.
Of the four new Warriors. Yeah, and we'll get to Kevin Durant when we talk about the NBA season later. But yeah, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes is on the USA squad. That's got to be a little awkward. And then Kyrie Irving is on there as well.
He said he's just giving him a bunch of shit.
I can't believe LeBron isn't like, let me go get this last gold medal. It just seems like way too much fun.
Well, he might still be playing 4 years from now.
As a LeBron fan, I'm like, nah, get your rest. You deserved it after
he deserves it, but I'm saying like he should want to go. I mean, you're right. He doesn't owe anybody shit. But it would be cool for him to, like, if I was LeBron, I'd be like, yeah, babe, I'd love to, like, chill with you all summer, but honestly, no, honey, no, you got to understand. I got to go get this gold medal, and then that'd be that. And then you'd get to go, like...
He'd be the only NBA player with 3 gold medals and a bronze.
That'd be awesome.
Isn't Carmelo going for that? Like, isn't Carmelo Anthony?
Oh, yeah, he might be getting part of the team.
Yeah, Melo's on the team.
Like, I feel like Melo, man, I feel like he looks forward to these games because it's the only time he really looks like a superstar. You're like, wow, this is how good you should be.
Well, he's such a good player, but he's not a good, like... He's not a good team. You can't build a team around Carmelo. But if he's like a dude who just needs to score on your team, there's times where he looks like Michael Jordan. He looks so good. When he's on the All-Star team, you're like, my God, Jesus Christ, Carmelo Anthony's the best player I've ever seen. Sorry, JC. Please continue.
Oh, no. I mean, that was pretty much it for basketball. I mean, I also look forward in the Olympics every year. I'm a dude, so I don't mind watching women's gymnastics. I'm even fascinated every Olympics by the men's gymnastics, like the impossibility of the things they do and how strong those dudes have to be. Like that's really cool to watch. Track and field is amazing.
Yeah, swimming, it's interesting.
Swimming. Recently, I've gotten into when I don't have time for like the full 90-minute workout that I do at the gym. When I do have time to go, I'll hop in the pool and I'll try it for like 15-20 minutes. We'll try to get a quick swim workout in. The reason why it's only 15-20 minutes is because I never realized how hard that shit is.
Mm-hmm. Swimming is so hard.
Like, it may technically be low impact, but it's high fucking cardio.
Yeah, and so the first time I did it, I could only go like 10 minutes, and I got out, and I was like, I'm exhausted. This is crazy.
Who's an Olympian who, you know, in a couple weeks, everyone will know their name?
Oh, the head of the main gymnastics person on the women's team. Like, it's starting to proliferate, but she's going to be just huge.
She's going to be badass.
Yeah.
Logan, what about you? What do you love most about the Olympics, and what are you looking forward to this year?
I love the Olympics because, number one, you get to see some of the top athletes in the entire world at these sports that you never in your life would ever watch. You know, wrestling, you know, there's track and field, swimming. Gymnastics, of course, is pretty amazing. Yeah, you get to see all these, you know, for lack of a better word, bizarre sports. Which I love that weird shit, you know. I love just kind of like getting to see stuff I never get a chance to see before. And these people are at the top of their game. They're incredible, you know.
Yeah, I would absorb all of it. Like I can remember as a kid, whenever the Olympics would roll around, late at night, I would scrolling to MSNBC and like watching archery because it was on.
Oh yeah,
and like.
Yeah,
and one of the cool things
are shooting.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that's happened in the last few Olympics is as social media grows and grows, like now it's a lot easier to catch up with everything.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Well, I was gonna say, and this year also has the added element of social media having expanded the way it has in the last 4 years. But now we've got the crying Jordan. And that'll be interesting.
So here's a quick just like A to Z rundown of the sports at the Olympics. And some of these are just I have no idea what they are, but archery, artistic gymnastics, athletics, badminton, basketball, beach volleyball, boxing, canoe slalom, canoe sprint, cycle, BMX, cycle, mountain bike, cycling road, cycling track, diving, equestrian, fencing, football, golf, handball, hockey, judo, marathon, swimming, modern pentathlon, rhythmic gymnastics, rowing, rugby sevens, which
rugby's
is awesome.
An Olympic sport?
Rugby sevens, which is different than the 14s or 15s, I forget. Sailing, shooting, swimming, synchronized swimming, table tennis, taekwondo, tennis, trampoline, gymnastics, triathlon, volleyball, water polo, weightlifting, and wrestling. Wow.
And I know this year there's a small group. I might have the number wrong of the number of athletes. I want to say it's only like 10 to 15 athletes. They're Syrian refugees without a country. And the Olympics are allowing them to compete as their own group.
But not the Russians.
Right. The whole idea of like what may or may not happen with the Russians, that's going to come out in the next few weeks.
I was just going to say, I can't wait to get real high and watch some modern pentathlon. It's going to be awesome.
See, the thing I love about the Olympics these days is it's so much easier to watch a lot of it. Because with the modern technology, and social media too, but like what I did a few years ago is I made it so that I could access the BBC servers.
Mm.
And they had everything on demand. So I could just be like, oh, I want to watch the final round of shooting. So I don't have to, be up at 2 a.m. in the morning to catch this, like, qualifying round. I can just wait until things are done and just go, okay, let me watch the last three rounds of this. And that I get the gist of it. I don't have to watch the qualifiers.
Awesome. It's also a good thing this year, it being in Rio for, us in the U.S., it's in our time zone. So it's not going to be, crazy opposite side of the world.
The Beijing Olympics in 2008, that was my favorite Olympics memory. That was when we beat Spain in a really fun gold medal game in basketball.
Yes, I remember that.
And
that was so
that
good.
That game itself, it was after 2 in the morning. And so I remember being out on 6th Street and then going to someone's house to watch it and just being just real high. But also just like...
I'm sensing a theme.
Watching the game and just...
Yes, he lives in Austin.
My buddy was like... He was blackout drunk, and so he started singing songs from like An American Tale. So he'd be like, "I want to live in America. I want to live." Like, and so it was great.
See, I remember from that game just watching. I was watching, and I was on thinking that no, I don't think Bleacher Report was around. No, I was on 4chan/sports, and like just the threads were amazing.
That's awesome.
Because it was just like. It was like just Kobe come save us. Because Kobe, man, Kobe he carried a lot of that game. Him and D. Wade. Because I remember that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And one fun thing to watch here is soccer. Because it's turned into like a little mini World Cup and like a little mini pissing contest. It's an under-23 team that you have to take to the Olympics. But you're allowed 3 senior players. Mexico in 2012 won the gold medal. And they beat Brazil in the gold medal game. Brazil, for all its World Cup titles, 5 World Cup titles, probably the most decorated country in the world when it comes to international soccer, has never won the gold during the Olympics. So they're going – so they loaded up their team with like Neymar and fucking David Luiz and
it's sort of a dream team situation.
So yeah, exactly. It's so like Brazil is like all in on this.
Do you remember that in 92? Like the dream team, just how invested America was? It was like, this is bullshit that we lost in 88.
Yeah.
Fuck this shit.
Dream team.
We're getting everybody.
Dream team.
We're coming for you.
Dream team.
Like, I still go just back like and watch podcast. A lot of those games just like because they're on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like, it's just so fun to watch those games. I watch them every 4 years when the Olympics come around.
I love, you know what I love? I love that Nike commercial that is set to like the Marvin Gaye national anthem for like Olympic basketball. Oh, it's great. I love Patriots. I love the dream team. I love this country. It's a great country.
Speaking of it, not necessarily an Olympics thing, but men's USA basketball, they have a men's under-18 team. This mostly pertains to Austin, so maybe Ramon might be the only one who finds it interesting. But the men's under-18 team, the head coach is Longhorn's own Shaka Smart.
No shit.
And what? It's a team made up of a 4- and 5-star blue-chip recruits, mostly uncommitted.
So it's just harvesting.
And, the only two guys that are committed are Longhorn guys.
Is his name okay? So you're saying it's Shaka Smart, but is he secretly Harbaugh? Because that's a Harbaugh.
Shaka
move.
Smart is the probably best new era college basketball coach in the country.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for Luke Walton, he might have, you know, he could have been the Lakers coach. You know, he's one of those just like everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows that he's cool. If I just want like 3 more good years at Texas, and then he can go coach the Lakers, I'll understand.
Yeah, when his name was being bandied about for the Lakers, I was just like, no.
No, not done yet.
He's not done rebuilding the program.
I just need like one. I don't even want to win a title. I mean, I'd love to, but I just want like one like really good elite. Remember the 2006 team that lost lost in the Elite Eight to, I believe it was LSU?
No, that with T.J. Ford.
The T.J. Ford.
Texas beat LSU because I remember.
No, they did not. Not in 2006. In 2006, they lost to LSU in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four.
No, I just remember.
LSU was Stromile Swift.
Stromile Swift was 2000. That was Glenn Davis.
I forgot his name.
Oh, Tyrus Thomas.
Yeah.
Well, I only remember because like I lived in the athletic on campus apartments just because I got there by some fluke, and like I was walking to my dorm that day and I had my Texas Law shirt on because I had just got accepted, and I thought that was cool. And a bunch of the football players saw me and just started throwing water balloons at me, and I just sort of stood there and just said, "Yep, still going." And they were like, "Why aren't you running, Ellie?" And I'm like, "I sort of deserve this."
So the football players, the football players knew your name.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's funny.
I mean, they're cool.
That's
guys.
Some revisionist history. And then
they were cool. I knew.
They were like, "Hey, Elliot, you want to come to the party tonight?"
I'll tell you. I don't.
We'll
hang
out beforehand.
I'll tell you why I knew their names. I was in 2002 because there's only the seniors and the juniors that knew who I was. I was in a program called Summer Scholars, mm-hmm. which was a retention program for African Americans.
Okay.
And a few of them were in that program, so they knew who I was because of that, not because I didn't go to that many parties. Like, it's you. You're that one we didn't think was in Summer Scholars because you don't look black enough. It's you. What the fuck are you doing wearing a Texas thing and we playing them?
That's awesome. All right, everybody. So I think what else is there to talk about? Now,
I was going to say you were talking about being able to stream and watch them on demand mm-hmm. for the Olympics to get back to the Olympics.
Oh, right, the Olympics.
if you were in the previous years, NBC has the broadcast rights in the United States for the Olympics, and if you have a cable package or your parents have a cable package, you can stream them on their website, and it's kind of a janky app, but whenever it's working, it's really cool. So
yeah, I will say that there are.
It's awesome.
There are ways to get access to the BBC from America.
How do you do that?
Not going to say, but there are ways. And it's a better app. And it's easier and it's free.
How to pirate the Olympics.
It's not pirating.
It's going to be a fun Olympics. It's
unregion locking.
We're all going to be. How does that work?
You generally have to get like a VPN or something.
Okay, which is a virtual private network for those of them.
And you have to convince the servers that you're contacting them from like London.
Okay.
Which is like something a lot of people do because like, I'm sorry, it's the Olympics. It's a national product. It shouldn't be that I have to have some kind of subscription to watch them. Like that should just be covered by my taxes.
Sure. All right, everybody. Okay. So let's talk a little NBA action.
Pay taxes.
It has been, you know, so I think when we last left you, we all predicted the Cleveland Cavaliers would come back and win in 7. They did that. It was exciting. And we thought, man, what an exciting, thrilling finish. Maybe the Warriors will never win another title. Maybe the Warriors have peaked. Maybe Steph Curry won't be able to stay healthy. And then they, on Independence Day,
they went Mighty Ducks
Kevin Durant. Here's how crazy that shit got. All of a sudden, you know, if Kevin Durant goes to San Antonio, Tim Duncan comes on for one more year to go for it one
he
more time.
He should have gone to San Antonio.
If Kevin Durant stays in Oklahoma City, the Thunder are probably the Vegas odds on favorites to win the West and probably the best team in the West because they reloaded on lottery night with Oladipo and with the draft picks that they made and getting so big and so lean. And instead, he makes the Thunder and the Spurs irrelevant, makes the Clippers the second best team in the West, and joins the Golden State Warriors. And now there's a cloud of inevitability hanging over the West. JC, how do you feel about it?
I don't feel as strongly about it as I did at first. When you look at it on paper, one of the very few times I agree with something that James Harden said is that there is only one basketball. And looking at who the Warriors have lost, Kevin Durant, is this, you know, for all intents and purposes, is filling into that Harrison Barnes slot. Harrison Barnes averaged a little over 9 shots a game last year. Kevin Durant, you figure, needs 15 to 17. I think.
And they lost Andrew Bogut, who was setting all of those illegal screens.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so I think I think Kevin Durant being there is going to neuter the production of one or both of Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. And that – I'm good. And that is – and they also lost a lot of their bench depth. And so –
Barbosa.
Yeah.
And they lost Barbosa. They lost – what's it?
Azili.
Asbestos.
Yeah. They don't have any three-point shooting off of their bench except for maybe their new rookie, Patrick McCaw.
Okay, but McCaw! Does that matter? This team, this is a 67-win team.
Right.
No, 73-win team. This is a 73-win team.
Doesn't quite have a ring to it.
73 wins, most wins in NBA regular season history. That just added one of the four best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
A transcendent talent.
And did not really lost size, lost depth. But pending the health of their stars, who can beat the Warriors in the West?
It does create that aura of inevitability in creating another Cleveland versus Golden State matchup. And so in the West, I don't necessarily know if anyone can beat them.
I don't think either can.
If it does end up being Cleveland versus Golden State again, it's another situation where even with Kevin Durant, I still like how Cleveland matches up with Golden State, because the way in which Cleveland was able to slow down Golden State with the way Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love played, and they drafted a really good backup rookie. They found an athletic wing in Jordan McRae. They re-signed J.R. Smith.
Oh, they re-signed J.R. Smith.
If they re-signed J.R. Smith. I still like how Cleveland matches up, and so I don't think it's as much of a lock as people say.
Can I just do a quick 1 minute aside and just – people talk shit about Kevin Love that entire fucking year.
Mm-hmm.
And that last like 30 seconds when you really needed him to show up, he locked down Steph Curry.
Oh, he was there. Oh, he was
like,
there.
It was amazing to watch. It was holy shit. Right. You should not be doing this to him.
The Thunder got more thin. The Cavs are big, lean, deep.
It's a matter of, and this is why I like Cleveland versus Golden State. It's a matter of how Cleveland can adapt to whatever they're given in front of. Kevin Love is capable, even with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, he's capable of being a 20-10 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Golden State, he doesn't need to be. Because if he's a 20-10 guy versus Golden State, that's not what he needs to be, because he's not doing what he needs to do.
I compare this. It's funny because Leo Messi and Steph Curry had kind of a man crush going back and forth on Instagram, on social media, where they would send each other jerseys and like congratulate each other and study each other's games. This is Barcelona 2014-2015 when. Coming after the World Cup, a team that lost a heartbreaking Champions League semifinal, went out and got three of the leading offensive players in the game, right? Because you had Messi, Luis Suarez, and Neymar. And that was good enough, despite the fact that it was a thin team, defensive problems, they got sanctioned so they couldn't sign free agents. That team was just so good that nobody could really beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too much of a mismatch. And so I think that unless, and this is a very serious concern, unless Steph Curry gets hurt, unless Kevin Durant has another foot injury, or any, the dude's had a lot of injuries and he's kind of awkwardly framed. He's not a big, durable guy. I mean, that's a very legitimate concern. But if they're healthy, I don't think they're going to lose.
Well, and one of the other things I like about next year, and this is sort of, I think as calculating as LeBron is, I don't think he could have quite envision him being 100% in the situation he is now, but
he's the good guy.
The thing that I love most about his situation now is similar to the second year in Miami after they won. All the pressure was lifted off of his shoulders, and he played maybe the best year of his career. Then LeBron's put himself in a position to where he's made the unfavorable free agent move twice, won a championship with it twice. Next year, gets to operate a full season with the pressure lifted off his shoulder, and very few eyes or less eyes are going to be on him, because more eyes are going to be on Golden State. He gets to operate the entire season completely stress-free. He's got no worries in the world, and he can conserve everything he has.
He gets rest this summer?
Gets rest this summer. He can conserve the regular season until the finals, and in the finals, as we just saw, is capable of leading both teams in every statistical category.
And it's never been done before. And that's what people don't understand, too. It's the finals are not a basketball game. in the finals, mm-hmm. the refs let him play. In the finals, you can get physical. You
and so it's like 90s basketball again.
That's which I love, by the way. And maybe it's me being old and cranky, but I
no, it's you having taste.
I love, you know, I love grimy basketball. I love defensive basketball. I love rewarding basketball. But the point is, the finals are a different beast.
Yeah,
and so I think you're right. I think we're headed to Cleveland, Golden State this time next year, same place, same time. Golden State will probably have the home court advantage. I think this will be a really exciting regular season. I think Golden State wins 67 games. I think they win like 65 games. You know, I think they'll lose a couple here and there, and the pressure will be lifted off. And it also, they know that the regular season record doesn't. The reason Golden State got on a run this year is because they beat the Clippers after they were down by 20 in a very tense regular season game, and that catapulted a run that totally set this impossible bar. Now the Warriors realize that the regular season record doesn't mean all that much. They don't have to chase a damn thing. So they'll probably go down, I'd say, 8-9 wins, mm-hmm. but they'll be focused, they'll be dialed in, and there just isn't competition in the West. It's the, I mean, I'm a Clippers fan. I love the Clippers.
Awesome Clippers, baby.
Healthy Clippers could have made some serious noise this year. Doesn't matter.
And I will say, despite the inevitable feel of Golden State making it to the finals, there's plenty to be excited about in the NBA next season.
Sell me on that. Yeah. Okay, Minnesota, sure.
Minnesota is up and coming. Plucky
team, bunch of young talent.
Sure. Fun team to watch. If you got league pass, you're going to dial into a Minnesota game.
And
but
New Orleans Pelicans are going to be good.
Okay. That remains to be seen.
Let's not lie to our readers.
I like the addition of Buddy Hield. Milwaukee has a really interesting team next year. They have tons of length. They almost nothing but dudes that are 6'10 and taller. And then there's Dellavedova.
But if you're somebody like Logan, here's a legitimate concern. If you're someone like Logan, who is a sports fan, who has other sports on his plate, who is a busy guy with a lot going on, and you go, hey man, Bucks T-Wolves this weekend, my place, no chicks, let's do this shit.
Okay,
he's gonna be like, I don't know, man. I don't why does this game matter? And that's a legitimate problem because again. No one is fucking with Golden State in the West. No one is fucking with Cleveland in the East.
All right, so let's look at it this way. So let's say
I would still do it just because I want to hang out with you, man.
I appreciate that.
So let's say you hopped on the Steph Curry bandwagon after he lit the world on fire, and all your friends are calling you a bandwagon fan, which is fine. I don't have any problems with being a bandwagon fan.
He's better than Jordan.
If you want to hop on a train of someone early,
so bad.
I know. If you want to hop on someone's bandwagon early, there you go. That's just from watching him in the summer league. I know he had a disappointing freshman season at LSU, but Ben Simmons is the real deal. Mm-hmm. We talked about him a lot on Inside the Locker. I talked about him a lot on my basketball podcast. His jumper is still raw, but he's. And his obvious comparison is going to be to LeBron James, and I think he's a better, more accurate passer than LeBron James. Not as good of a rebounder, not as good of a shooter, not as good overall, but just the passing is better, and he has that ability to grab a rebound, take it and go. He is that good. And if you want to be on the bandwagon to someone early and get to say that you were with him from the start, pay attention to Ben Simmons.
All right, but again, who can challenge either team in the West or the East?
And I think what Ramon may be getting at is what incentive is there for a non-NBA fan to watch if you know I can just wait until like April and watch the thing that's going to matter because literally none of this other stuff matters.
Right.
In terms of who's going to win it all. Like, so how do you sell – like this is the NBA's problem next year is how do you sell a non-NBA fan on watching any of the regular season?
It's going to be tricky now, especially after 73 regular season wins proved to really not be matter at all.
Because like I don't watch the NBA during the regular season a lot of the time because it does feel pointless. Yeah.
Right. Well, and what's also frustrating is again the West is a squad driven conference with some big teams, and man, that Thunder Warriors series was so much fun. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we don't get that this year,
what I was most bummed about. I wanted to see because Oklahoma straight up. Robbed.
Should have won that series.
Well, I'm talking about in the draft. Like Oklahoma straight up robbed Orlando of Domantas Sabonis, who I think is going to be a great rookie.
And Oladipo.
And Oladipo.
Holy fuck.
And
Oladipo, by the way, a big, lanky, talented player that is here to destroy Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
He's here to attack Klay Thompson.
Good.
Yeah. He's
that Ron from Different World looking person now, over there.
Big athletic wing that can shoot threes. He can defend. He was wasted in Orlando, was not used to his potential. I mean, even without Durant, I think you're going to see him be an amazing player in Oklahoma City. But I would have loved to have seen the three of Westbrook, Oladipo, Durant.
What do you think Westbrook is just going to go off this year?
See, I think the problem with that is that he doesn't want a long-term stay in Oklahoma City.
So you think he's just going to play down?
So I think he's going to play hard, but it's just one of those things. I mean, he has that. He's going to play hard. It's not going to be good enough, and that's what sucks about
it. One of two things will happen. I think Blake Griffin will get traded to Oklahoma City, or Russell Westbrook will get traded out.
Prior to the season starting, or by the All-Star break?
By the All-Star break. See,
healthy Clippers.
And the thing that's tricky also is I don't think a team from any conference wants to help a team in its own conference. So like a likely destination for either Westbrook or Griffin is Boston, and then and kind of vice versa. I don't think. Like a really great scenario for helping both teams is like you could trade Marcus Smart in Boston to Cleveland for one of their other picks, but like they're not going to help each other because they're going to meet each other in the conference finals.
Yeah.
Well,
you're thinking about how about let me ask you a question. This is something that I can't figure out now. For the last 24 years, I've been a New York Knicks fan.
I'm so sorry.
Are they tanking or are they trying to contend?
They're in a difficult place.
We're in a tight spot.
They can't do a lot with Carmelo's contract, and yeah, they're in a bad way right now.
Just like yeah. What if Derrick Rose,
Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose
turns
Carmelo Anthony
turns into he turns from Mr. Glass to Bruce Willis's character in Unbreakable, and just has an out of his mind year. Carmelo doesn't have to do as much, so he shines. Porzingis is on the wing. Like, what if they make Joakim Noah is there? What if the Knicks, I'm not kidding, are the sleeper hit of this year?
The Knicks are, as a Knicks fan, I just want like a six seed. And just for them to be competitive and fun, I want an excuse to tune in. I want an excuse to like watch. I think the Derrick Rose thing is rough because you're right. I mean, I think they can't do much, so they got bargain. But on paper, Noah, hell of a player. Defense last non what you won like defensive player of the year a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2011 All Star team.
The best hope the Knicks have is, but I mean by then they may be too old. But I mean LeBron, Wade, Carmelo, and Chris Paul have all gone on record saying at some point in their career they'd like to play together.
Yeah.
And in theory, one of the only places that by the time Carmelo's contract runs out, you know, one of the only places that might have the kind of cap room is New York.
Well, you think LeBron would leave Cleveland again?
Yeah, I think LeBron's going to end his career with like a, kind of a Kevin Garnett 2-year run. Me and my boys are going out blazing.
Yeah, I think
that'd be awesome.
If LeBron can maybe win one more in Cleveland, then I think he's free to go wherever he wants, and nobody in Cleveland will bat an eye. I think if he were to leave now, that. I think it'd be a bad look, even though he delivered on a championship.
But. He won a championship, and that's the thing about it. Like, he did it. Like, the story's over.
His
like,
payment has been made.
He did it. The prodigal son returned to the home city, won a title. You can't tell him nothing. You can't say anything. You can't, like, no one in Cleveland, you're right, no one in Cleveland is going to be anything but happy for him whenever he moves on. Plus, if he decides to move somewhere else, it won't be the best player in the world moving in his prime. It'll be, you know.
I just want to hang out with some friends.
I hope we get to see Wade, Paul, LeBron, and Melo together. Just like... And have them just eke out like one old ass title. I'd love that.
That
would be so much fun. All right, NBA action inside the locker. I want a little programming note. So again, it's the summer now. We are going to do our very best to have one show per week through football season, pending availability, pending travel schedule, pending you know whatever we got to do. But we're gonna do our very best. Starting next week, we're gonna say the F word. We're going to start talking about football.
Yes!
We're going to start talking about college football, NFL football, fantasy football. Send us questions at ITLcast on Twitter. Hit us up on
whatever platform you prefer, it's going to be a lot of fun. For Inside the Locker, my name is Ramon Ramirez. This is Ellie Fontanet. This is JC DeLeon. This is Logan Urie. We're still out here. Shout out to Adam Charles. R.I.P. Harambe. Oh,
actually, you guys asked about it last week. Real quick, if you want to update on for – there's still a couple of weeks, but for all intents and purposes, the movie box office challenge is over. And yeah. Overwhelmingly, it's Elliot because yes. Elliot drafted both Captain America and Finding Dory.
Oh!
Yes!
Oh!
And
hey, don't sleep on Independence Day 2.
And
we're just cooking.
Along with Divergent, TMNT 2, Now You See Me 2, and The Purge Election Year.
God, that team sucks.
He's at $433 million.
I got all of those?
Yeah.
What else? What else?
$433,564,298. Second place is Ramon. Ramon had $200,000 movies also.
Almost
The Jungle Book and The Secret Life of Pets did $104,000.
Doing work.
$104 million.
Doing work.
Central Intelligence.
Blazing.
Central Intelligence was really good.
ID42. The BFG was big flop.
Big flop. Big fucking flop.
Ghostbusters 2. He's $347,000.
Okay, that's not that bad.
Or $347 million, not thousand. And then third place, Logan did really well despite drafting Midnight. We kind of screwed you with Midnight Special. Because Midnight Special drew $190,000 in its opening weekend. But then you had Batman vs. Superman, which was $166 million.
I don't need your money.
Need your money.
Even though you're in third place at $215 million, you do still have Star Trek Beyond and Jason Bourne.
Those are going to do very well.
I don't think you're going to catch up to Elliot, but you could end up getting second because Elliot and Ramon are both done.
I think you could get second because Star Trek Beyond is going to be a huge
I'm coming for you, Ramon. I'm coming for you.
And then I've got Suicide Squad left, but I'm at $195
million. What movies did you have?
I had X-Men. My big one was X-Men Apocalypse, which is $65 million. And then I had Alice Through the Looking Glass. The Conjuring, fucking Warcraft, $24 million.
Too bad this isn't China.
Yeah. Yeah, this is China, man. You'd be cleaning up.
Legend of Tarzan, and then I'll have got.
Did you guys know? Did you guys know that by 2017, China is going to have the biggest box office in the world, which means it'll be bigger than Hollywood. Which means the reason why all y'all are seeing movies with major Chinese characters is because Hollywood is trying to appease Chinese audience. Now I'm all for diversity, and that's fine and good. In Independence Day 2 movie I haven't seen, but there's Chinese heroes in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's cool, but here's where it's a problem. Is, like, China censors literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest box office in the world starting next year is going
to... Isn't Now You See Me 2 the biggest movie in China, like, ever?
It's blown up. Warcraft is bigger than Star Wars in China right now. The reason it came out in early June is because that's when college and high school is out in China, and, like, they just blew that shit up. But again, the in Warcraft had some prominent Chinese people. Unfortunately, China censors everything. And so you're going to see a lot of movies that might be cool, might be international, but will have some harsh, harsh censorship.
See,
not ideal.
I don't know if we're going to notice. Like, there's so much that if you have a decent writer, say you can't have this one thing. Well, you can just write around it.
I think you're right. You know, it's like, and it's not like that. We did a piece at the Daily Dot. By the way, I am the editor of the Daily Dot. An editor at the Daily Dot, and I edit the upstream section, which deals in, you know, YouTube and comedy and streaming film and streaming music, et cetera. It's basically the entertainment section, right? So we did a piece a couple weeks ago.
Formerly known as the entertainment section.
Formerly known, yeah. I'm the entertainment editor, and then I became the upstream editor. Upstream, check us out. daily.com/topic/upstream in any case.
I want like one of those air horns.
Bow, 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 bow. Blazing.
sound like Aziz Ansari.
So check this out. We did a post about like North Korea propaganda cartoons and like you guys should check it out. It's fucking crazy. I don't want to get into it right now. But the point is it won't be that bad. All right.
Oh, the Daily Dot did a podcast today with all female podcast.
We did an all female podcast
about Ghostbusters that y'all should check out.
Check that shit out. It's going to come out this week. It features Audra Schroeder, who is in Austin, Texas, Michelle Jaworski, who's in New Jersey, Gavia, who's in Scotland, Jaya, who's in New York City, and Ray, who's in Los Angeles. A five lady strong panel. It's dropping soon. All right, enough plugging other websites.
I still got to edit that thing, man. It's totally wrong.
oneofus.net. check us out. We got great podcasts, we got great friendship, and a strong, supportive community. And guess what's coming soon? It's time for football. So get ready. We'll see you guys. Strap in. And RIP Harambe.